At LensCrafters, we value expertly tailored eye care, provide state-of-the-art eye exams, offer a wide assortment of designer brands and high-quality lenses, because everything we do at LensCrafters is for every sight that makes your life special. We offer 50% off lenses with frame purchase, shop in-store and online. Book your annual eye exam now on LensCrafters.com. LensCrafters, because sight. Eye exams are available at the independent doctor of optometry at or next to LensCrafters. Doctors in some states are employed by LensCrafters. Offer valid through April 2nd, 2023. See associate for details.
I have a quick question for you. Are you trying to lose weight or just be healthy or just feel more confident and happy? Well, in order to do that, you need a new way. You see, the problem is losing weight, it's hard, and keeping it off feels almost impossible. At the 1-3-1 Method, we have helped over 50,000 people find a new way, a much better way. Okay, so here's how this works with our online program. It's three simple steps. You go to 1-3-1-Method.com, you start it, you slay it, and you own it. Step one is to start it. You do that by identifying what it is you want to work on. What is your priority? Is it weight loss? Is it gut health? Then you pick a start date, you log in, and go. Step two, you slay it. What does that mean? It means you get your meal plans, you select from hundreds of delicious, simple recipes all online, including cooking tutorials, and then we'll help you change up the way you eat every 4 weeks. That is going to boost your metabolism, and it's called diet phasing. We'll help you personalize the process because, hello, one-size-fits-all diets do not work, they never have, and they never will. We all need our own individualized approach, and our registered dietitians are going to help you do that so that this is something that you can do for life. And then, step three, you own it. No more wasting time with fad diets or wondering if you're doing something right. It's time for you to take control of your health, to heal your relationship with food and your body. And we want to help you lose the weight and keep it off. You deserve to look and feel freaking amazing. So do yourself a favor. Go to 1-3-1-Method.com and let's do this. Hey there. Thanks so much for joining me today on The Chalene Show. Today, I have permission to share with you the beginning of a journey. This is a story that involves someone who's really very dear and special to me. That is one of my closest friends in the whole world. In fact, I consider her a sister from another mister. Quite frankly, that's where this story begins. It's a story of my friend, Dr. Michaela. Well, I know her as Michaela. It's Michaela's journey to figure out, I almost say who she is, but I think she's always known who she is. I think this story may resonate for many of you who didn't get to spend much time with one or both of your parents, or maybe you never even met your mother or never met your father, or maybe you were adopted, or you just have questions about, you know, your history, your origins, your biological parents, frankly. And this is the beginning of her story. And I'm, of course, sharing it with her permission, and she'll be sharing the story right alongside me. But in this first episode, I just want to set the stage for you to kind of understand where this started today on The Chalene Show.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
So I met Michaela, I don't know, at least 10 or so years ago, and it wasn't probably, but maybe the second or third time we spent time together. As per usual, I started digging in and asking a million questions about her family and her history and, you know, just who are you, etc. And it wasn't long before she disclosed to me this, like, kind of crazy story of her childhood. And I'll let her share that with you here, because it is her story, but I'll just summarize it by saying it was, wow, talk about the definition of resilience. As they say, when you're raised in chaos and there's a lack of love and a lot of abuse and things that aren't healthy for children, it's interesting how one child ends up being a doctor while a sibling may end up addicted to drugs. And in fact, that's what did happen to Michaela's brother. Her brother Nathan unfortunately passed away of a drug overdose. It's tragic. It makes you think so much about nurture versus nature. Like, was there something about her DNA that was different than her brother's? Was there some tiny difference in the way that they were nurtured, even though they were raised at the same time in this same horrific environment where they really just had to survive? Needless to say, I believe, and I can say this because she's not in the room, I believe that Michaela has this inner confidence, resilience, drive, tenacity, perseverance that she knows is pretty special. And I think she knows that a big piece of that has to do with just God. Like, God gave her this incredible journey, not because it's her purpose, but because he has a purpose that he wants to fulfill through her life. But you can't help but look at the dichotomy between herself and her brother Nathan and wonder how much of this is nature and how much of this is nurture. And part of that definitely fueled her desire to figure out who her biological father was. What was he like? What did they have in common? Was he still alive? What was her nationality? Did he abandon her? Did he know about her? Did he ever try to find her? Did he ever try to reconnect? Did she look like him? And if he is still alive, would he be proud to find out that she was this accomplished doctor who'd helped save the lives of so many people? Like, all these things, like, she's got this incredible singing voice and this crazy, awesome sense of humor that makes everybody die laughing. You know, did she get that from him? There's just all these questions that I think, even though you know who you are, I can't help but imagine, because I'm not in her shoes, but I can't help but imagine that these things would drive you crazy wondering about them. And so in the many years that we would exercise together and take long walks and just spend hours and hours and hours together, you know, so we would talk about this. You know, for the first probably 5 years of our friendship, she was pretty resolved to say that she was curious, but not in a way that it was keeping her up at night. She didn't need to know, you know, and it was almost like better not knowing, because her own history, her own family history was such that she found family, the love and support and healthy family connections that she needed outside of her biological family, you know, and that most of the, not all, but most of the people in her blood-related family, she associated with pain or abuse, neglect, torture. And anytime my parents were around, I could just sense this like fascination that she had with the relationship that my father has with me and with all of his kids. But, you know, and my dad and mom have really taken on Michaela like a daughter of their own, like when she was in this horrific fire. That's a whole nother story. Let me just say this right here and right now. When it comes time to write her life story, I hope that she will choose me as her ghostwriter, because I don't even think she understands how crazy and unbelievably inspirational her life is. Anyways, maybe I'm a little biased, but I don't think so. But when she was in the hospital recovering from this horrific office fire that nearly killed her and left her in the burn unit here in Orange County, you know, my parents came and they stayed at her bedside and visited her many times. And I just remember her going, it's just, it's fascinating. Wow, your dad was like listening to my stories. Like, just these things that I take for granted because I have a father who's always been very involved and very loving and very interested and very proud. And she would just be curious about that. And I always, you know, for me, it's just like, wow, what would I be like if I didn't have that advantage? And when I meet people who say, like, you're so inspirational, which is like a really nice thing to say, and I want to accept that compliment. But I think to myself, I had a lot of things going for me. I mean, kind of some of the biggest things going for me. I had two very healthy, loving, exceptional role models as parents for the first 18 years of my life. But then I look at someone like you or some of the people who you send me these letters, and I'm like, now that, I'm not inspirational. That is inspirational. Like, thinking about where she's come from and where she's at today. And not just Michaela, like you, like so many people. I hear your stories and I'm like, how did you overcome that? Wow. And maybe the gift is in the terrible, crazy things that you've had to overcome. And if you didn't have to overcome those things, you wouldn't be who you are today. Maybe those things are blessings that have allowed you to help other people, that have made you who you are. That's certainly how I look at my friendship. Or when I look at Michaela, I'm so inspired by her because I think of all that she's overcome. This woman's life story is redonkulous. Anyways, so, you know, over the years, she would say things to me like, I really don't need to know. You know, at some point, if I need to know, well, then I'll find out. But every time I ask my mom questions, I don't get the answer I'm looking for. And it's always a different answer. And it's very confusing. And I think this is intentional. And her relationship with her mom is one that didn't really develop until she was an adult. I'm not going to even talk about her relationship with her mom because that's hers to discuss. But I'll just say, you know, it's not the traditional mother-daughter relationship, that's for sure. And in great part, she's stayed in contact with her mom more so over the last several years because of the way this journey has unfolded. So maybe 5 or 6 years into our friendship, so I guess it would be 4 years ago or so, she started kind of showing a little bit more interest in figuring out more about him for health reasons, you know, because her own kids were asking, well, do we have a grandpa on your side? These kinds of things. And so she started getting like a little bit curious and doing the typical, what you might guess, like searching on Facebook, going off of what the information that she did know. And that would spark her interest. And then she would wane. And then she would say things to me like, I remember one Father's Day. She goes, you know what? What am I thinking? I need to figure out who my dad is. You know who my father is? My father is Jesus Christ. And there isn't anyone better, anyone cooler, or anyone who could love me more. So why would I lower my expectations and think that I need to find someone other than my ultimate father? And I thought, that is such a cool way of looking at things. But as you might expect, that thought would keep coming up and keep coming up. And I knew it was really starting to bother her. And it wasn't long before she called me to say, okay, well, I did it. I was on the computer late at night and I decided to sign up for Ancestry.com and just see if I couldn't get to the bottom of this. Like maybe they could help me find my father. And so I think there's some advanced service that you can pay for, and it's pretty pricey, where they can help locate these individuals for you by, you know, tracking DNA and tracking like a relative who might be in the database who's related to another relative. And they like literally assign a caseworker to it. So she starts going through this process. And of course, she kept me pretty abreast and she was pretty chill about the whole thing. Like I didn't see her getting overly anxious or overly excited. She was just kind of like even keeled about the whole thing. And I remember saying, well, are you excited? Because they'd found like some cousins and they really were getting much, much closer and they felt like they had a name. And she's like, you know what? I'm not. And in fact, this is just, it's bothering me because now it's just, it's becoming more and more real. And so now this thing that I wasn't worried about, now it's like every day I'm waiting for the latest tidbit of information. And now it's added all this extra stress into my life. And yes, I want to know, but I don't want to be a part of this process. Like, I wish I could just like find out one day or not. But like the anticipation every single day and waiting for new information is freaking killing me. And I can't handle it. And I really cannot handle this. But yet at the same time, I want to know. And you're my best friend. How would you feel about me asking you to take over as my representative in the communications with this person at Ancestry? And I said, of course. Of course. Are you kidding me? This sounds like, I hate to say it, I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but this sounds like fun, right? You know, she wanted me to know that she kind of felt guilty about the fact that she was second guessing herself for even starting this process. Like, what am I doing? I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment. And I hope you don't think that I'm being a pessimist. I think I'm being a realist. And I know I should be really excited that they're kind of getting closer, but I'm not. And I just don't like the way that this feels. I don't know if I've made the right decision. And it's just, why have I introduced all this stress into my life, yet I still want to know? And so I guess what I'm asking is, would you take over as my contact with this agent at Ancestry.com? Because it's just the highs and lows of it every day are really making me second guess why I'm doing this. But I also don't want this to be added stress to your life, meaning she didn't want it to be stress to my life. But I'm like,
stress to my life. This isn't stress to my life. I find this freaking fascinating. I'd love to be your representative. Okay, so here are two messages. First, the message that she left for me, and then the message that I left for her. Now, you might be wondering, like, why do you have these recordings? Myself and all of my friends, we hate the whole iPhone, like, hold down, you know, the talk thing and then swipe up because half the time it doesn't work. So we always record individual voicemail messages to each other. And so I have like hundreds from all of my friends and they have them from me. And it's kind of fun when you can, sometimes I'll just go back and listen to them. And I realize that I had all of these really interesting calls. And when I realized that this was a topic that a lot of you are struggling with, I wanted to be able to share what this journey, trying to find Michaela's father, what this was like. I'm also going to share many of your journeys with your permission. Thank you so much for sending those to me. So this is going to be an interesting series. Anyways, here's that first call, or first messages, I should say, between myself and Michaela. First, Michaela.
Hey, I'm just responding to all my emails, and I wanted to confirm I was going to reply to Catherine from Ancestry and just have her finish up what she's doing and just, I don't even know how I was going to word it, but I was going to have her tell her perhaps go ahead and forward everything to you, but I just don't want you to feel like any sort of level of responsibility. Like, I'm not afraid. There's no fear in this process. I just know that it's kind of stealing my happiness away right now. And I just don't want that. And it's dragging out and becoming like painstaking. So if it's interesting or fun or something like that for you, then I'll just put in this email to forward correspondence to you moving forward, and anything to do with like fees, she could just send me the bill. But if you feel like it's going to be like a weight or like a responsibility that you don't want, then just let me know. It's seriously, I was just going to halt it anyway with her. And again, it's not because I have fear of anything. It's just so heavy for me that I just didn't expect it to drag on for so long. So I'm losing my voice. So let me know, because I'm writing this email up to her. I just need to, like, it's this. I'm just like sick of this whole thing. It's just it's yucky for me. And yeah, that's it.
I don't think you should feel anything other than what you're feeling, and I think it's a sign that you have realistic expectations to think that this is a possibility, and it might not turn out well. And this might not be a healthy individual, and you might end up disappointed, and there's just all these unknowns. And I just think it's very normal to feel, I would assume anyone who's had your experiences would feel what you feel, and anyone who isn't, hasn't had your experiences, number one, or they have unrealistic expectations. But this isn't stressful in the least for me, other than that it's stressful to know it's exhausting and hard for you, but it wouldn't be stressful at all to help. And it's a phone call. I'll call her tonight. I mean, you just say the word. It's not stressful. Michaela, you know me very well, and I tell you when there's certain things I can't do, or I don't have time, or I can do it, you know, 2 weeks from now or whatever. I'm always honest about that.
I would love nothing more than to just get rid of this situation. Not because I can't handle it. It's just, it's stressful. Just when I forget about it, after a few weeks, I get that email again. And I always end up feeling sick to my stomach. I don't know why, I just do. But if I had to choose one of us to take on this stress, I'm definitely not going to choose you. So I know you would make the time, and I love you for that. But I can't. I'm just not going to do that to you, but... you know, I got myself into this, and I guess I'm just going to have to see it through. But between you and I, it just sucks. I hate it. I just am not enjoying this anymore. But, you know, what are you going to do?
All right, so I took over as the point of contact for Ancestry.com. Nonetheless, the point of contact for Michaela to continue to try to glean information was Michaela. So Ancestry would come back with more information like, okay, we found these two cousins, their last names are such and such, and we think that there may be a connection between these cousins and this person who may potentially be your father, and here's the name, and here's the city they live in. And I'm going to leave the specific names out of this episode just to protect people's privacy. But so they would come back with this information, then I would have to relay it to Michaela, or she would read the emails because she was, of course, CC'd on them. And then really the only kind of like person that she was hoping she could maybe shortcut this whole process was her mom, right? But her mom had very little information that she could recall. But at the same time, I think Michaela, as you might expect, wondered if her mom was covering up something or intentionally not telling her all the details, or if she didn't want her to meet her father. Like, you know how your brain, if you don't have all the information, your brain thinks the worst, right? And so Michaela would have to get into these long conversations with her mother, whom she didn't grow up with. So she would just like try to get more and more information. And as you can imagine, the relationship is, you know, it isn't as strong as, I guess we could say, it's not as strong as it could be, that's for sure. And so she would spend just hours on the phone with her mom, just trying to get her mom to remember anything about this man who was her father, all along, fully anticipating that there was a very good possibility that he had since passed, that maybe he wasn't alive. And, you know, just always kind of preparing for that in her mind. But also, there was this kind of mystery, like, what is going on? Why don't people want me to know who this person is? So here's a snippet of one of those phone calls where she's trying to prompt her mom's memory, just anything, any little nugget that might lessen what feels like a very prolonged 40 plus year journey to figure out who her biological father was or is, and is he still alive?
Was he tall?
No. No.
So I guess that I'm wondering, like, anything that you could remember about his personality other than the fact that he was mean?
Well, let me think about that. I have to really shouldn't put my brain there and think about it. Let me do that.
I think after hearing this, I don't want anything from him for 100%. And I'm not trying to meet him, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about his personality. But had I even considered or entertained the thought of connecting with him, I don't think I want to now, hearing that he was mean and didn't want anything to do with you and knew that you had me. Clearly that, I mean, I know things change, but it's hard for me to fathom as a parent myself.
Listen, are you working today?
Yeah.
Are you going to be free in about an hour?
No, I have a client, but if you want to kind of toss things around, I can call you like tomorrow or something.
Okay.
If something jogs your memory or something.
I'm going to think of some stuff and I'll text you and tell you, call me when you get a chance. And
because they are going to find. They're going to find him.
Good. I hope so.
She said, I've got great, great news. The path we have right now looks really good.
Good.
Because we've got two paternal matches.
Keep an open mind. And
I did ask for, I'll let you go in a second. I did ask for, it's called a genealogy and history. It's like they create a book for you of him and his entire family and how far it goes back and my ancestors. So,
yeah.
You know, something I'll get that out of this.
Well, let me know what you find out, but I'm going to try and think and see if I can come up with some more stuff and I'll write it down and then I'll text you and say, call me when you get a minute. Okay.
All right, Mom.
All right, sweetie. Talk to you later.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today's installment. As I said, this is going to have to be a little bit of a series because I want to include your stories. I want you to follow along in this journey and just imagine what this would be like, how frustrating, the highs and lows. And on Monday, we'll come back and I'll update you and share a little bit more detail about where this journey took us next. I hope you find this very interesting. Of course, I'd love for you to reach out to Dr. Michaela. She's not going to fill you in because I've already sworn her to secrecy, but you'll know by Monday. In the meantime, just let her know that you're rooting for her and that you heard this episode. She is at Dr. Michaela on Instagram. Let me know what you thought of this episode. And, you know, if you want to like talk about this, you should join the Pod Squad. It's a group on Facebook. It's free, and it's just for serious listeners only of The Chalene Show. You'll have to answer a few questions to prove that you actually do listen to the show. I'll give you one major hint. My name is pronounced Chalene, like shut the door. Chalene, Chalene, Chalene. Not Shay, not Char. Chalene, like shh, shut the door. All right, that's it for now. Talk to you on Monday or inside the Pod Squad. Thanks for listening. I love you. I mean it. Talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Kristen, Chalene's podcast manager. Just a little reminder that Chalene publishes an episode 5 days a week. On The Chalene Show, you can listen on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on Build Your Tribe, the show she does with her son, Brock, you can listen on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But in order to have those episodes automatically downloaded to your phone, you actually need to be subscribed. And to make that easier for you, I've placed links below this episode that will take you directly to the pages on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher so you can easily subscribe. Oh, and by the way, if you write a review, and I don't care where you write it, if it's on Stitcher, iTunes, or on Spotify, it is like giving Chalene the ultimate gift. She loves, loves, loves to read those reviews. So I just want to thank you in advance for going and giving her a little gift of writing a review. And lastly, you know, I've told you this in the past, but I would love to hear from you by leaving Chalene and I a message. Go to chalenejohnson.com/podcast and look for that little widget and leave us a message on what you're loving on the podcast, what you'd like to hear on the podcast, or any other suggestions you have for us. That would mean the world to both of us. Thanks for listening. I love ya. Chalene loves ya. And we mean it.